It's 5:30. We are up to. Pasuk Yutes. We're in the middle, I think. Chazaka. You know, we did that one as well. I'm sorry. All holding. Okay. So we are. That's correct. Right. And we just began to start the Achida. Right. That's where we started. We began the Achida. Mikel Kamaicha. On page 531. Mikel Kumocha Rabbeinu Harav Rabbi Moshe Kur, the way the Nikud is, Kurdo Veroi. People say Cordovo. So over here, for some reason, he puts the Nikud as Cordovero. Hadich the Sefer Torah Devadam Vechtav Eze Gargir Medivre Harav Zal Bekitzer Meoid Mikel Kumocha Mikel Chesed Vetakif Kumocha Sha'ata Soivel. Who is a God of kindness and mighty, like you, Sha'ata Soivel. What do you mean? You tolerate, you bear. Asher, Beruach Chayim Shemashpiachu Yisparach Lo Oivdoi Mishtamish Boi Lachatoi. In the spirit of life that you bestow upon that Hashem disposed upon His servant, Mishtamish Boi Lachatoi. This is a very deep concept which we hear about. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives you the power to sin. Hashem helps you sin. Rachman Lusson, a person wants to sin, whose power, whose energy is he using to do an Avera? Hashem. Hashem is taking you by the hand, helping you sin. Hashem could just kill switch. Hashem has a kill switch in every single person if he so wishes. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he allows, he tolerates a person to sin. He's saying more then Hashem tolerates a person to sin. Hashem is actually helping you sin. Okay, that is such a very deep concept. How could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu, who created this world, and Hashem does not want us to do an Averis, when the person wants that Hashem says, I'll help you. You want to run away from home? So let me go, let me give you a credit card, and let me help you do Averis. And Hashem, that's the koich of Mikel Kumocha, an ordinary, a melech boss of Adam, when a person rebels against the boss of Adam, instantly, the melech boss of Adam, when he finds out that his servant is rebelling, he revokes his security clearance. Okay? I know someone, I have a friend who works in computers, he has a company, and he once told me is that he, at any moment in time, can basically shut down any one of his employees' workstation. There's sensitive information that every employee has a laptop. They give them laptops, and on the laptop there's the software that they design, and there are very important things that are very sensitive to the company. And he trusts these people. He trusts that they're his workers. And I don't know the problem how everything is what you can take off the machine, what you can't take off the machine, but if there's ever an issue probably from his smartphone, he just presses one button and that laptop is a paperweight.
You go to the company.
Right, right.
By the time they call you in to let you know you're gone.
You're gone. It's ready. Your computer is gone. Right. They call you and they want to give you a pink slip. So when they call, when on the way to the office, they already pressed the button. They press the button, and the laptop is literally a paperweight. Wherever they are, as long as anywhere in the world, even everything today is, and it's very sophisticated technology. This is not a small thing. It's cost a lot of money to these. This is like the government. The government, they use this technology, and it's scary stuff. He told me one time he had to do it. There's one situation where he had a problem and he actually, they fired someone and they had to be very careful when to fire him and how to fire him and to push the kill switch at the right moment in time. So he should not go and make sure that he should not take advantage. They were afraid of him. So the Ribbono Shel Olam can do the same thing. And yet he doesn't. He doesn't. Hashem says, you want to do Averis? I'll help you. Here are all the codes. Here. I give you all the security clearances to do whatever you want to destroy me, to try to go and bring harm to the Ribbono Shel Olam and influence people. Mikel Kamaicha. There's no such thing like this, such a principle like this in the entire world where Hashem gives, where a being gives his creatures the ability, not just the ability to harm them, Hashem actually helps them harm, bring harm to this world and to Hashem's role. This is, it's an awesome, awesome concept. From the
and you use the shichacha
against Hashem. But Hashem is actually, it's not like Hashem just gives you the ability to do so. Hashem helps you. He takes you by the hand and he helps you do it. It's me. This is what it means. Me kel kamoicha. Hashem, it's not real what it's saying over here. Shemashbiachu yisparach lo'evdoi. This, the Ruach Chaim. Shemashbiachu yisparach lo'evdoi. Mishtamesh v'lachatoi. The person uses that koyach to sin. V'hoyoch lo'shem yisparach lo'evdoi Ruach Chaim. Hashem can activate the kill switch, can press the kill switch. Ki b'yodei hakol. V'im kol zeh, oyse chesed. Hashem says, I'll help you. V'zehu, that's what it means. Mikel takif v'rav chesed kamoicha. That's what it means, mikel kamoicha. So it's a very, very profound. It's willing to control himself. He helps you. If you want to sin, I'll help you sin. That's an incredible, incredible translation. Next. Noisi Yavan, Hashem is forgiving. Kiv Yochel, the Biasia Suavera, Niver Makatrik, the Oile Lamala, the Shol Chius. The Ha Yochelem, this is more of a Kabbalistic principle they teach us children. Which we get older, we don't really like to hear these type of things because we don't really know what these things mean. And it's really questionable. It's the right thing to tell us, the children, that when a person does an Avera, he creates a Malach. And when a person does a mitzvah, you also create a malach. And these malachim are either your advocates, or they are your mekatrigim. They are your, what's the translation of mekatrigim in English?
Adversaries.
Good. They're adversaries. They're making trouble for you in Shemayim. So he used that Kabbalistic principle. V'hoyocholoy maloy tikach nefesh ho'avaryon. V'tekif ho'yemes. When a person sins, that malach goes to Shemayim and says, he says that this person is a Baal Avera, is a prosecutor, and Hashem could listen. And Hashem says, okay, I accept the insult. I'm willing to tolerate the insult. That's what it means, Noisei Avon, period. Next. When a person does teshuva, and he does shuva, Hashem accepts him, and Hashem is oiver, Hashem forgives the sin. Kidrsiv imrochatz, Hashem eis tsoyas b'noy siyon. This is a very, very fascinating pasuk, that Hashem himself cleanses the tsoyas. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? You ever associate the Ribbono Shel Olam with tsoya? Tsoya is human waste. Human waste. Filth. So, Hashem, there are many people today, many men today, I could tell you some of them, I would say some of them have 12 children, maybe some of them have more, less. I know people like this. You don't believe me, but I'm telling you this truth. They've never, their whole lives, ever changed a diaper once. Never. They never, could you imagine having 12 children and never once changing a diaper? Could you imagine such a thing? Could you imagine such a thing? It's not believable. It's mamish not believable. There are people out there that it's true. My father's always used to say over this joke. My mother would always tell to him, and my father would repeat it. The joke was about this fellow who got married, and you know, Kula Torah, he's living in a bubble, and you know, he learns whatever he does. He never lifted a finger his whole life to help raise the children. And one day,
did your father do that?
No, my father. It's funny, okay, my father did a lot. My father was not a hands-on type of person. Like, he was not like computer, but my mother got him to do a lot of things. A lot. But the story, the joke always was, my father would say this drush many times, the story, he loved the story. A fellow He never lifted a finger his whole life. And one day, his wife comes, all washed out, worn out, and she says to him, "My husband, Rabbi Yid, I have news to tell you. Your daughter is getting married tonight." Okay? The wife, she raised the child, she dealt with the shatchanim, everything, from top to bottom, A to Z. She prepared the wedding, the whole, everything. Tonight's the chasana. Maybe you should pull yourself away from your Gemara. Come to the chasana, you know? I'll show you who the daughter is. If you want to know who your daughter is, I'll show you. She's getting married tonight. Oh, my daughter's getting married. My tochter is getting married. Oh, gewaldig. Okay, so then it's ready, half an hour before the chuppah. He gets up and he takes out, his wife prepared all the clothing for him. He puts on the shirt and he puts on his kapata. And he's like, he was a big, heavy person, because he just doesn't move and eats. And he puts on his kapata and then he closes the button. And as he closes the button pops off because he's so big, right? And he bends down on the floor. And he picks up the button and he goes, ah, this is Tsar Gidl Banim. A Chefza of Tsar Gidl Banim. Okay, there's a story, someone told me this haunting story, this is a really haunting story. A young man, there's a big debate going on. Where was the debate? This is a big debate where Kol Yungalite, they come late. They're being paid to come on time to the Zman to learn. A younger man, he comes late. Comes late a couple of days in a row, so the Rosh Kollel says, being paid to be here, Bidiyuk, 9 o'clock. Not a minute later. It's not right. It's not, you can't come up. So he says, so he told him, my wife, it's getting out of hand. I know I should go to work. I am going to go to work eventually, but this year I'm still in Kollel, and my wife really needs a little help. It's a little out of hand, and just bear with me. Anyway, I'm on my way out to work, but my wife needs a little more help. So the Rosh Kollel says, I'm sorry. That's the rules. The rules are the rules. You're in the Kollel or you're not in the Kollel. If you're in the Kollel, you got to be here on time. That's no games here. All right, fine. 2 weeks later, the same thing repeats itself. Okay, same thing repeats itself. So the Rosh Kollel says, "What's going on over here?" Nachamo, I'll tell you what. I went early on the way to trying to recall all the details on the way to the Kollel, and as I was going to the Kollel, I saw there was a woman there at a bus stop. With five little children, she was collapsing, and I gave all the details, and it was such a rachmanis on this woman. I went and I took one kid, I put him on this bus, and this, and I drove her back home. I was such a rachmanis on this poor lady over here. I said, "Where's your husband?" "Her husband is not available. He went somewhere else." So the Rosh Kollel says, "All right, you did a very big chesed. Okay, I'll give you a pass. It's okay. I need tomorrow also. I need to help this woman. It's like she's like an almana, it seems to me." "Okay, fine. I give you the whole week. You can do it this week." As he's walking out of the office, he says, "Well, by the way, that woman that I saw by the bus stop, it's my wife." "It's my wife. So why last week when I told you l'chatchil it's my wife, then you told me arois? And this week, you're letting me get away, come half an hour late, because it's my wife." All right, listen, there's a lot to be said, and that's not our topic over here. The point over here is, Ribbono Shel Olam, it says here in this passage that Hashem does the diapers. You know what it says? That's what it says. Hashem does the diapers. He diapers the child. Am I making this up? It says over here, V'noyseh, what does it mean? What does it mean? The oiver al pesha, sheka asher yachzor b'shuva. When a person says, "I have a wet diaper," when the child says, "It's not right," uveroiv rachel mekablehu atzmai oiver al pesha, Hashem, I'll take care of it. He's mikabloy al atzmoy. Oyver al pesha, the kiddusiv imrochatz Hashem eis tsoyas b'noy siyoy. That's the need of Rachmanis. Not that just Hashem says, sits in an office, an ivory tower, and says, look, I forgive you. Hashem gets his hands dirty in when a person says, I want to cleanse myself, I want to be clean. Hashem helps the person cleanse himself. And the graphic terms of the pasuk are an eye-opener to how far Hashem goes to help a person cleanse himself from his problems. L'she'eris nachalosoy, m'loshen she'er kiviyochol. She'er means, which means, like, the different translation, she'er either can mean a relative or can mean a leftover. V'oid hirchiv be'eres toivo urchava. Eres means ayin sham be'oirech uv'roichav. Hu yisbarach, this means, yizakenu loshu b'shuva shleima, v'yazreinu al devar kvayt shemo, azreinu elokei yishenu ki imcha mekarachayim. So here when it says l'she'er nachalosai, I'm not sure what he means, but when it says eres, eres means a bed. Eres toiva urechava, melitza, oid hirchiv eres. Okay, I'm not sure what he means over here. Eres, l'she'er means a leftover. Well, she'er also means your offspring. Okay, a bed, when Chazal always used the term bed, very often it means Priya or via, it means to have children. So Hashem is l'she'eris nachlasam. I'm not really sure what he means over here, but in this context. Okay, but in any event, what he's saying over here is to review. We have here a few of the midos mikel kabaycha. To review outside what the Torah Devar is saying, the translation is mikel kabaycha. There's no one in this world that actually helps a person do an Avera. This is the unique midos of Hashem. Hashem is extremely tolerant to the degree that he helps the person do an Avera. Noisei Avoin, yet, when the person wants to do Teshuvah, and Hashem is tolerant, who's like you? And when he said the words Noisei Avoin, he translated this to mean that, it means that when the Mekatrek, the accuser, the prosecutor comes to Shemayim and says to Hashem that this individual is a Rasha, he's guilty. Hashem says to the prosecutor, so what? Have a nice day. Okay, 32, extreme madrigal. Mikel Kamaicha, Hashem helps a person do an Avera. When he does an Avera, he creates a Malach, a prosecutor. And the prosecutor comes to Hashem and Hashem says to Hashem, Hashem, this man is guilty. And Hashem is Noisei Avoin. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the good news. Have a nice day. Court is closed today. Go home. For Oyver al Pesha, when the person cries out to Hashem, I want to do tshuva, Hashem himself diapers the person. L'she'eris nachalosoi. Not sure what it means, but according to the Chidol, l'she'eris, you want to maybe help me with this? She'er, what he means over here, l'she'eris nachlosai, for the remnant of his inheritance. So it just, instead of saying something simple, it's just a description. Okay, whatever it means, it means. But at least the first three parts of this pasuk are off the charts of how the degree of Rachmanis Hashem has on Klal Yisrael.
So, is that a constant feature of a Kodesh Baruch Hu?
Absolutely.
So every time a person sins, any sin, you sin, Lashon Hara, you steal, you cheat, you do this, you do that, you do that.
Hashem is helping you sin.
Hashem is constantly going to the prosecutor and saying, so what?
That's right. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. Micha is saying this.
So when is there ever punishment at the end of life?
There is, it comes to a certain point. Yeah, everything is in balance. Yeah, every time you learn these type of Maamar Chazal, it's not just one size fits all. There are many, many different things going on at the same time. Obviously, a person doesn't have error, he's putting into motion a series of consequences. We have a principle that there's reward and punishment. Nothing, there's no free lunch. But you have to also appreciate that there is a dimension in the existence of man where Mikael Kamoicha knows where Kodesh Baruch Hu helps you do the Avera.
What are those circumstances? Where is that the exception to the rule? Is that the rule?
That's to have Hashem to decide. There's all, there are always multiple, every piece, every pasuk, every maimon chazal is true. And all of that, all of these, they're not contradictions to one another. They all are different dimensions. It's not just three dimensions. We appreciate it. When you have a three-dimensional, when you have something that's three-dimensional, you have many sides, right? There's, I only see this side in front of me, but there's a this side, there's a this side, there's a this side, there's a top and the bottom. Okay?
So and you're saying it's discretionary to
God's part? Hashem has his cheshbonos. Hashem, I don't know how the rules, rules are up to Hashem. Hashem, every situation is obviously different. Every, you cannot, can never generalize in these matters, but we have to appreciate that all of these things are happening simultaneously, and Hashem decides when, where, what, how, where he puts the weight on which, or which element of what's taking place, in which, at what point in time to bring out reward and punishment to the person and to the world, and to increase Kavod Shemayim. And each element, each piece is one dimension of a multifaceted, multidimensional reality in this world. When a person does an Avera, the Ribbono Shel Olam is taking you by the hand and saying, you want to do an Avera? I love you so much, let me help you do the Avera. I'm going to help you. And then when the person does the Avera, it creates Malachim and Shemayim, whatever this means, that come and stand before Hashem and prosecute and accuse. This man is evil. Let us obliterate him. And Hashem says, have a nice day.
What does it mean to help you do the Avera?
Help you do the Avera. Like I always told you 100 times, the Brady Bunch. When Bobby wanted to run away, right? The little guy wanted to run away. So his mother, she said to him, you want to run away? So here, I packed for you a suitcase of food and clothing. Here's some money.
So why isn't Hashem
helping? Let me help you. If you're gonna run away, I don't want you to. I don't want you to get frostbitten.
So Hashem is your partner in this sin.
That's right.
So why isn't Hashem held accountable?
Why? Because Hashem is not the one who wants to sin.
No, he's helping. If you help somebody do an avera,
so you say Hashem is guilty?
Are you guilty?
If either, well, according to Bush W, either you're with us or you're against us. What? You're saying something very profound. You're saying so Hashem is guilty. Now let me say some abikursus now.
I'm not saying he is.
Let me say some abikursus. Let me say, I'm not afraid. Let me say some abikursus. So maybe in a chanami. So maybe Hashem is also guilty. Ooh, did I really say that? In a chanami. Hashem allows himself to be guilty if you want to be guilty. That's all part of the greatness of Hashem. Hashem, I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. There are many people.
So when the Malach has a tanya to the person, you said it, the Malach comes, right. I did the Avera, Hashem helped me do the Avera. The person comes, the Malach comes to Shemayim and says, you know, Hashem is guilty. And Hashem says, Hashem doesn't say the way you're describing it, you know what, I'm guilty too. You have a tanya to me? The way you're putting
it. So the Malach will say, yes. There are Mamari Chazal that say such things. That yes, Hashem says, you're right, you got me. I'm guilty. You're right, you got me. So now what? We'll figure this out. So there are other Mamori Chazal that parallel this and say, you did an Avera, you're going to burn. You're going to burn big time. And Hashem is not going to forgive you for one iota. One mashu. And anyone that says that if you choyte and Hashem is going to forgive you, ain lo chelik le'olam haba. I show you by Mamori Chazal that are so extreme in the opposite direction that make this sound like the total fantasy world, what it says over here in this passage. So which one is correct? They're both correct. They're both correct. Hashem loves you. You want to sin? I'll help you. And you know what? I'll also be guilty. It's kedai. My love for you is so great, I'll allow that I also should be guilty. But there's also a dimension. You are out of your mind. You're going to sin against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to wipe the floor with you. He's going to obliterate you. You're going to burn. There are multiple complex dimensions. Life is not simple. Everything in this world is complex. There are many dimensions. This pasuk here, according to the Chida, he's opening up our minds to understand the intensity of Hashem's love for us. It's not for nothing that we say these psukim on Rosh Hashanah and throughout the Yimei Tshuva, Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Mikel Kamocha, is there such a being in this world that is like you, Hashem, that actually helps a person do Avera, and as you correctly said, and by association of helping a person do an Avera, they're also guilty. Hashem goes so far to allow himself also to be guilty. And then, Noisi Avon, when the prosecutors come and say to Hashem that this person is guilty, Hashem says, thank you very much for the good news. Have a nice day. And then the Oiver al Pesha, and then when the person wakes up and realizes what a fool he is, and he says, I have a dirty diaper, Hashem says, I'll change the diaper myself. I don't need any help. I don't need a nurse. I don't need any help, any domestic help. I know how to change diapers myself. I'm not embarrassed to get my hands dirty. You know what that means? That's awesome. Oh, but the Amori Chazal that tell us Hashem is Melech Yoyeshev Al Kisei Kevoidoi. Hashem, a Melech, would change a diaper out of your mind? You gotta be a Looney Tune to say such things like this. So the answer is yes. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim. This is the Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's us to appreciate that that Hashem is not like us. Hashem is super, super complex. And it's impossible to fully comprehend the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the limited ability of Tzimtzum that Hashem gave man in his limited mind to appreciate that you have an obligation to delve deeply in understand. All right, let's go to the Maral. We got to go further.
He
says She'er.
She'er, as in.
So she'er
is making a pun here.
Clothing. She'er in that word. She'er that pun means food. She'er kisusa ve'oyna lo sigra. She'er there in that pasuk means food. Is that correct? What does it mean in that pasuk? She'er kisusa ve'oyna. Food, right? It means food.
Yeah, it's food. Everything.
Food, but mainly food. So is that what it means over here? L'she'er nachalosoy. Hashem is l'she'er. So what does he mean over here? She'er. I don't know what he means.
Then he's making a pun after that.
Eres.
Eres tova urekova. That's related to food, right? Alamitya.
Eres tova urekova.
He uses the word eres.
Interesting. An hour in Alamitya, we never saw the word eres. Melitza. Eretz. Oh, that's what I said before. Eres Barzel. Eres Barzel. So with an Aleph or an Ayin, I don't remember.
With an Ayin. She'er doesn't only mean food, by the way.
Here's an Aleph.
It also means children.
Right, that's what I wanted to say. If you say that Eres means a bed, then She'er, not with a shin, with a sin. With the sin, it means... It means, that word is also used in Tanakh, it means children. Children. So it means l'she'eris nachalos, so for the children of his inheritance. I think that's the most satisfying shot.
She'erit is related. Related.
Related.
Like she'er
b'saro,
it's
wife.
Right.
There it says, with a shin or sin.
She'er.
She'er b'saroi. She'er b'saroi, the relative. It means a relative, a person.
Usually, his wife or something.
Right.
She'erit nachalato is a left.
So this,
it's
this
leftover of the Jews, whoever would still be around.
No, but they see, I don't want to say
and
that.
They are still related to Hashem.
See, if you take the word she'er to mean a relative, just to mean a relative, she'er b'saroi, in that context, does not mean a leftover. I mean, maybe it's related, but it means a relative. We learned last week on Friday, the Maamar Chazal, that this is the pasuk, the fat tail. This is the most delicious pasuk in the whole Torah. And in the most delicious food, if you eat it, there's a thorn. You're gonna get a thorn stuck in your throat. Why is it the most delicious pasuk? Because it says these beautiful expressions. But then there's a thorn. There's a thorn stuck into the fat tail. L'she'eris nachalosai. Not everyone is going to survive. There's going to be only survivors. People are not going to make it to the very, very end. That's because the Chazal, who said that statement, they translate the word she'er to mean leftovers. Not everyone's going to make it. It appears that according to the Chidah, he doesn't want to go with that Chazal. He doesn't want to have any negativity. Anything negative about this pasuk? This pasuk is the fat tail, and there are no thorns, and it's being served on a gold plate. by a waiter in a beautiful restaurant, and there's absolutely nothing negative. How does he do that? He says the word she'eris nachalasoi does not mean leftovers. It means like she'er, means a relative. So Hashem is kind. He has these three midos. Mikel komaychanos avavayva pasha. For who? For his children. For his relatives. Who are Hashem's relatives? Klal Yisrael. There's no negativity according to the Perush. Eres davo. Eres means a bed. A bed means your offspring. It's always a code word for your offspring. It means your relative. So in this context, you don't have to go and look for negative connotations like what Chazal are doing. That's what I asked him. Listen, don't chop me on diktuk here. Aleph and an ayin. How do you spell ima? Aleph mem hey, right? Right? Ima. Aleph mem aleph. Two alephs.
Yeah.
Ima is a not Hebrew word. It's Aramaic.
Aramaic.
Aim is Hebrew.
Okay, good.
But Kamatz Aleph is Ha Aim, which
you make me feel very good mother. Because I wrote my ignorance. I wrote Aleph Mem Hey, and it was correct to Aleph Mem Aleph, and I was so happy.
Aim Shelah is her mother, Ima.
Okay, I'm all confused. I don't know anything. That's ignorance, okay. Ignorance is bliss. It was the other way around.
By the way, this psukim here, it's amazing. Nothing says about Bnei Israel to do tshuva. Everything comes from him. Yel kamocha, to the end, it's he is the one. He's the one.
We sit back and watch the show.
There's nothing here about do tshuva.
We sit back and watch the show. Right, it's true. Tshuva comes on Yom Kippur. Well, we say this on Yom Kippur also. Okay. Inechanami, Hashem does everything. All right, so this interpretation of the Chidah seems to be very positive. He's trying over here to take away the negative. His goal is to take away the negativity of She'eris, which has a connotation that there's going to be leftovers. Not everyone is going to survive. Okay, let's go move on. The Maral. Now we come into the domain of Rav Michal. We have our resident Maral scholar here on premises. Maral on page 533. 533. Avraham shahaya midasaya chesed. Right away, that's a classic. Right away, get the flavor of the Maral. Right away, Avraham midas is like right away classic Maral right off the bat. Avraham shahaya midasaya chesed roi mitzat atzmai el hatayra. Avraham, that is chesed, he fits very much with Torah. Sha'atayra hi Torah as chesed. Torah, we very often like to call Torah emes. Torah is harsh, it's to the point. Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. Kasha oso ken yeose loy. Torah has this sting. There's a sting of midas hadin that runs through the Torah from beginning to end. There's like no nonsense. There's no nonsense. It's the Torah is written with midas hadin. Torah shebal peh is midas rachamim. Hashem comes along, Chazal come along and say, oh, listen, this that it says, nefesh tachas nefesh, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, no. Mamoin, it doesn't literally mean din. That's the whole style, the whole side of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is din. Torah Shebal Peh is rachamim. The Mesorah tells us how to interpret the Torah Shebichsav with rachamim. That's why at night we're not supposed to learn a mikra, because nighttime is dark. It's a time of din. And it's not a good idea to compound din with din. During a tekufa of din, you don't want to learn mikra, chumash, nach, just the psukim, because the psukim by themselves are very harsh. And in a time of the day of harshness, too much, it's dangerous, don't do that. At night, learn Torah Shebal Peh. You will dilute, you will soften the harshness of the time. By day, you know, too much chesed is also no good. Too much chesed. This is not a good idea. You have to have some discipline. So by day, you learn Torah Shebichsav. So he says over here, Torah in the totality, of, in the big picture is chesed. Avraham shayim min midosei ha-chesed. Rohi mitzar atzmai el ha-Torah sha-Torah hi Torah chesed. Now why is Torah chesed? Even though it's written b'midas ha-din? Excellent, exactly. It begins with chesed and ends with chesed. And that says it all. How does it say it all? Because it begins with Hashem clothing Adam and Chava. Hashem makes for Adam and Chava clothing. It doesn't just mean Hashem makes clothing. It represents Hashem's talent of Adam's chait. Even though Adam was chaitei and brought upon himself busho, chlima, through the chait of the Eitz Hadas, Hashem said, it's okay. I'll cover you up. It's not Hashem made clothing. It doesn't mean a gemach. Torah begins with a gemach, right? A gemach of come donate your clothing in the old clothing in this box on the corner and just hope the police don't take it away because they think it's a chevetz chashut, right? That's now the Torah begins with a very deep principle of Hashem made man. Hashem gave man this entire world and man blew it. Man was kafui toif, he rebelled against Hashem. And by rebelling against Hashem, he brought upon himself enormous shame. Busha uchlima. And what does Hashem say to man? It's okay. I accept you. I accept you with all of your defects. I'll give you nice clothing, nice things to cover your shame. What greater chesed is there than that? To accept a person for what they are? Think about that. You go to these yeshivas, you know, they write and they look at you and they say, you're an oisvarf. You're good for nothing. Get out of here. That's not chesed. That's din. Chesed is to learn from Hashem. That's right. You have big problems. You have very big problems. But we accept you. We accept you for who you are. This is going in the ways of Hashem. Hashem gave man everything. Man responded with chutzpah. Brought upon himself shame. And Hashem said, it's okay. Let me cover your shame. And let's deal with the issues of work. That's the ultimate chesed. Could not be greater chesed than that. That's the beginning of the Torah. What's the end of the Torah? Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Now what does that mean? That's a much more difficult principle. To bury someone, okay, very nice. You work for, or you volunteer for the Chevra Kadisha. Very nice. That's chesed. But what is the depth? What is the depth of burying a person? What? Chesh lemes. There's no expectation. There's no expectation for reward, to reward. But there's more than that. That's also one element. But death, burial, we know is planting a seed. It's planting a seed. Techiyas hameisim is always described as matzmiach Yeshua. Hashem didn't just take man, the end of the Torah, and say, Moshe Rabbeinu, excellent. You have achieved very great things in this world, and now we're going to bury you at sea. We're now going to cremation. You're done. We're going to just put you back into the atmosphere. No. The end of the Torah is to take a person, a human being, and to put him in the ground. Because in this world, when you put something in the ground, it means one thing only. It means it grows. Matzmiach Yeshua. It sprouts forth something greater. The end of the Torah is, Adam, you're just getting started. You think it's over? It's like the wedding videos, right? It's over, this ain't the end. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. The end of the Torah is, after everything is said and done, I don't want this to end. I want this to be a new beginning. Hashem himself planted the seed for the next cycle, the next world, the next whatever all of these mystical things are. Because that's what it is. How else do you understand this? When you put something in the ground, what do? Hashem, when a person's life is over by the goyim, they don't like this idea. Then they're right. What are you putting a person in the earth? It's disgusting. Think about it. It's a disgusting thing. The earth. What? So you want to go back where you came from? You want to go back into the crib? What?
That's
That's exactly what Hashem wants.
Why would you want to go back where you came from?
Because that's where we came from. We came from Earth.
So what?
We say it on Yom Ha'aron. We say it right.
So we say that as a way of humbling ourselves. We use that as a technique, a poetic technique. Think about it. You want to go back to kindergarten? Many people they pass things like a person starts out in life, he doesn't have a penny to his name, he buys a jalopy. He buys an old used car. Every day he wakes up and he has to be mispada when he turns the engine, it should go on. Okay, they don't let those cars on the street anymore. But when I was a kid, that was the way it was. Okay, when we would go to yeshiva and our parents would take us and they would have carpools, it was a real suffix on a day like today if we would have to go to yeshiva. Because when they would put the key in the car, I mean, remember those days, we get in the car, it was colder than you know, you go open and become the car, you sit in the back seat there, they would shove in the back seat like 10 kids, right? 10 kids, legal as could possibly be, and it was so freezing, and then they would turn, and you know how that sound, and the engine doesn't go on, and they try it again, and try it again, and we're sitting there saying to Hillim, please, let it not go on, so we can go back home and not go to school today. That's what we all did in the back seat. And then we heard that engine start off. Such chalisha sadas. Oh no, we have to go to yeshiva today, right? So it was a real suffix if the car would even turn on.
See, I have a different view.
Yeah.
Hashem, better than Moshe. Two reasons. One, I think the relationship between Kodesh Baruch and Moshe Rabbeinu was so unique. Yeah. He felt just like he himself clothed on the Makaba. He himself felt the necessity to do it. Second of all, if somebody else had buried them, then as we know, if Moshe Rabbeinu's caver would have become a place, Chas V'Shalom, of almost like a Avodah Zarah.
Right, that's
but
that's
the uniqueness of a Kodesh Baruch emotion was a one time thing. Hashem did not bury Avraham.
It's Hakam Avraham's kever, it's not an Avodah Zarah.
We have Marcus and Pela. But the others, I mean, as great as they were not the Nebuah Moshe Rabbeinu was so unique. And as Hashem didn't bury Yoshua, he didn't bury any of this kingdom, only
Moshe Rabbeinu.
And that relationship was so unique in my opinion.
Right, but that's a side point. The point we want, everything he's saying is 100% correct. But the point over here is the bookend. I'm called the bookends. Why does the Torah end with this principle that Hashem buried Moshe? Very nice. So bury Moshe in Parashas Veschanan.
But we have three instances of Gemilas Chesed in the Torah from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. One is Vat Nachal by Avraham Avinu.
Okay.
He came himself. Then we have the Kur. And then we have the dressing of
Adam and Chava.
That's the three unique.
That's the only. That's the only three things.
That Hashem himself did for the individual.
That Hashem himself did.
He didn't bury Aharon. He didn't bury anybody else. The great three of them.
He was Mevaker Choyle. He dressed Adam and Chava, and he buried Moshe. Okay, fine. Okay, these are all true, but we're focusing on the book ends. Why does the Torah begin with clothing Adam and Chava and end with burial of Moshe? On a very simple level, oh, it's chesed, it's very, very nice, very nice, it's chesed. But it can't be so simplistic. When Chazal say the beginning of the Torah begins with chesed, the end ends with chesed, the burial of a person by Hashem is a lesson of what Hashem's, from Hashem, it's Hashem's Torah. From Hashem's perspective, it is showing us what this book is all about. These are acts of chesed. I am panim l'Torah. You can talk about, but let's just take the common denominator, what we want to focus on. We have a book. The beginning of the book has chesed. The end is chesed. Oh, very nice. Yeah, gemach for clothing and a ches shalem is society. That's it. That's the whole lesson that Chazal telling us that it's chesed for Hashem's book. It's much, much greater than that. The creation, the world was created for man. Man is abysmal failure. And Hashem says, it's okay. I accept you for who you are. This is the greatest act of chesed that is possible in this world. To accept a person for who they are. There's no greater chesed in this world than to say, I accept you. With all of your faults, with all of your problems, it's okay. We'll deal with the issues. No one's gonna make believe there are no problems. That is Hashem is teaching you. That's what this Torah is about.
How does that relate to the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu?
That's the Torah's conclusion of Chesed is to say what's the next act of Chesed is. It ain't over. When everything is over, when everything comes to the very, very end, Hashem is saying, I'm the Baal HaBos of this world, and I am making a statement at the end of the Torah. The Torah is like a wedding video. This is not the end. It's just the beginning. Because in this world, as we know it, when you put something in the ground, it means one thing only. It means something is come back later. Because something very big is going to grow from this seed. That's the way it is. Because if you're not going to say that, if you want to go look at the world in a very, very plain, it doesn't make one bit of sense why a human being should be put in the ground when it's all over. We're brainwashed. It's hard for us to remove ourselves from that reality. But the goyim, you know, chochma, bo'amin, tamin. They have a good point. Why would you want to go put a person in the ground? That's an insult. They bury the garbage in the ground. Where does all the garbage go? The sanitation. Where do they put it? They bury it. They take it upstate. It costs astronomical dollars and cents to transport all this waste upstate somewhere to a place. Someone once they wanted to see the scandal of Seamus. Remember what happened with the Seamus? Where does all the Seamus go? It goes in the garbage. That's really where it goes. Okay, it goes the same way. So someone went and they did this investigation. It was an incredible, eye-opening thing. Where does the Seamus go? So they gave in Seamus. They followed like an FBI investigation. They gave into the truck and they watched the truck for weeks and weeks. And finally, the truck moved and they followed it. And then they saw where it went. And then finally, they followed the truck. And boy, you can't even. There's no GPS to get to these places. It's not even on Waze can't even get you there. Go these roads that are not even listed, are not even registered. They're not registered with Waze. It's illegal to have these roads registered. These crazy roads, these dirt roads, and they were following for miles and miles and hours. And there they come. They discover that's where all the garbage is. All the garbage of the sanitation department, these massive, massive landfills. And they just took all the Seamus and went in one of these landfills with all the other garbage. The only difference is the good ones, you know what they do for the Seamus? They do it in layers. So it's garbage, 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 garbage. And then every so often, then before they put the Seamus, they take hopefully rubber. And they're very expensive, some type of material, and they basically they put over the ground, then they put in all the Seamus, and then they put on top of that another coating of rubber, something like that, and then on top of that goes what?
More garbage.
Okay, so pi halacha, is that correct? Not correct. People were horrified. That's what really happens. That's if you're lucky, that's what happens. Because if you're not lucky, they don't even put the rubber. If you're not lucky, they just basically, it ends up like all the other garbage. It's not a joke.
Some people put in
buildings. Right, that's why they put in.
Good.
They put in bigs. Now, because of they uncovered the scandal, so now they stop this. Now, in the Catskills, they have cemeteries for Seamus. They have real cemeteries. Big, big private landfills. Private landfills where they ship all the Seamus and it's buried by Yeshiva Bochum. Ben Azmanim. They work very hard, or they take certain. They work very hard to go and to bury it with their cover. But the poor may go with what? That's what it is, whatever. However it works. This is however it works for us. But what? Why in the world would you want to put a body in the ground? You put garbage in the ground, not bodies.
What should you do with the body?
Torah says.
What should you do? I don't know. But not in the ground. Put in a mausoleum.
What
would you do otherwise? You'd let the body sit and rot?
Yeah, what else are you going to do? But don't put it in the ground. It's disgusting to put it in the ground.
But we know know that's not kovedik to loose, let it rot.
What do you mean it's not kovedik to let it rot? What are you supposed to do? You put it like in a vault, like they do, like they do these mausoleums. They have these very fancy mausoleums. They put them on shelves. Why would you put it in the ground?
So if the Chulim buried the Tanoim, many of them they did bury them in the caves and the vaults. No?
And then what did they do after they buried them? They only buried them in vaults until they first put it in the ground. Correct, but that had a din of the ground. That had the status of the earth because it's mechubal karka. What is the alternative? I don't have a good answer for you, but it is very disturbing. No, it's not disturbing. It should be disturbing. So why then do we do it? You use them because that's what you came from and returned to.
I'll tell you why. The example of a body not being buried without cover. The example of Shaw. Remember what happened to Shaw? The Plishtim captured his body. They took it home.
They hung it up.
His head on the thing. They put the body. They rescued the body. And what did they do with the body?
They hung it up.
They burned it.
Okay.
Why? Why did they burn the body? Because of disease. They're afraid of disease.
Okay.
So
fine. So I don't have a good answer. I don't have a good answer. But it is something very bizarre when you think about it. And yet the Hashem himself went out of his way to take Moshe's body and to bury it in the earth. What is the lesson in this world of Teva that we live in, especially in ancient times, in the raw world? When you put something in the earth, it means one thing only. It means you're planting a seed.
So why aren't we learning already by Avraham Avinu? They buried him also, I assume.
Well, that's Avraham. The Torah ends that Hashem, Avraham did it, everyone did it, but the Torah ends, went out of its way to end off with this statement that Hashem himself put a human being in the earth. And that is a statement that of chesed. Chazal say this act, this expression at the end of the Torah, that Hashem himself put a body in the earth, planted a seed, is chesed. What is the chesed? The chesed is to give a person another chance. To tell a person, it's never over. It's not over. What you have accomplished now is just a springboard to accomplish even more. What that more is, we have no idea. It's beyond our wildest imagination of what goes on in the other world. But Hashem, Chazal are telling us very profound things. This is called Toiras Chesed. Toiras Chesed is the beginning and the end. The beginning of Hashem's lesson of Chesed is the two examples of the ultimate Chesed, to learn from Hashem, to appreciate, accept a person for who he is. And the end of the Torah is, when a person comes to an end, when you see that you're coming to the very, very end, don't let it be the end. Give a human being a chance to rebirth, of renewal. Renewal is called chesed. That's it. Okay, we have to go right. We have to go right. No.
One more thing. Actually, two. When you say on the Matseva, pay nun, is not ponik ba.
Nitzman.
It's something. It's a
Tamon.
Tamon treasure. Treasure that we put in order to, later on to deal together with it. The goof is the beged of the neshama. That's definitely. So the neshama is tehora. So the beged should be burned. Should be hidden somewhere. Not this time. Now, when there is a beginning and the end of Chesed, that means the entire Torah is Chesed. Because if you look, Be'ela Mishpatim, Asher Taseh Lifneihem, Ki Tikneh Between Shesh Shanim Yavod, and then he has Amai V'Yayis to marry her. There is Chesed all over the place. And the beginning and the end shows that the entire Torah is Torah. Chesed.
Excellent. The end points are Chesed. It automatically means the whole thing is chesed. Okay, that's what the Maral is saying.
In the cave that we learned that Ishet Kevorot Adayom Hazeh, they didn't need Levoya for Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua. They didn't know the Sion of the Moshe Rabbeinu.
I don't know. I don't know what it means. I really don't know what it means. I don't know exactly what it means. All it says is they did not know where his burial place is. Did they have a funeral? Did Moshe have a funeral? I don't know. It doesn't seem like he had a funeral. Doesn't seem like it. It says they cried for Moshe for 30 days. But did he have a funeral? Did he have the equivalent of what we have today, a funeral? Doesn't seem like. I don't know. I really do not know. Okay, let's go further. Avraham shahaya midas soicha chesed roi mitzadat smay el ha-Torah. Sha-Torah hi toras chesed. V'zeu midas shel Avraham ulkach kim Avraham kol ha-Torah me'atzmai. Mibnei shezeu midas soicha me'atzmai hu ha-Toy ve'ha-chesed. Very mystical morale words. Kasha yadua mimidasoi shegoimel chesed. Lekacha Torah hi midasoi. Okay, so Avram Avinu is chesed. Torah is chesed. It fits. Matim. Torah fits with Avram Avinu. Aval Yaakov, let's go read further. Avki hoye midasoi ho emes. Uchidichsiv titin emes li Yaakov. Chesed li Avram. Halo yevsha lo odom bemeshuhu odom liyois dovek bimadrega zois. It's impossible to maintain MS. Why? Ki ho MS choy samay shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein ha-midah ha-zois hi midas MS bo'olam ha-zeh, shu olam ha-sheker. We live in the Alma de Shikra. The Shikra, I told you this story once, how I got into a lot of trouble. I lost a very good friend from because I got into a lot of trouble. This person was praising someone, and he was talking about, and he said to me, this person was sitting and he said that this world is Alma de Shikra. He told me, he said over something to this person, he said, Alma de Shikra. So I said to him, yeah, that person, he's part of the problem. And he gave me this look, and I knew it. I opened my big mouth. I should not have said that. I really believe it to be true. But not everything you believe to be true should you say should come out of your mouth. Okay? And he didn't like that I said that. I said, he's part of the sheker. He's part of the problem. The person was preaching that this world is Alma de Shikra. And I was telling him, that's right. This world is Alma de Shikra. You're part of the sheker. You're part of the shek, right? That was not nice, but I couldn't hold back. Further, so MS is something which cannot be maintained in this world. MS is the midah of Hashem. Absolute MS. It says that Hashem created the world. What does it say? Hashleich le'oretz hashleich. That's late. That comes later on. But Hashem, there was a machleik. When Hashem created the world, Hashem summoned all of the midos. And Hashem said, should I create the world? So Chesed stood up and said, yes, create the world. The people will be Balei Chasodim. Sheker got up and Hasheker said, no, do not create the world. They're going to be Shakronim. And who came next? There were two. Shalom said, and Hashem said, there was one more, there's another one. There is, Shalom said, don't create the world because the Kula Kitata, there was one more that said, create the world. I forgot the Medrash. So what did Hashem do? Hashem took MS, the meat of MS, that argued, do not create man. Man is kula sheker. I do not allow you, Hashem, to proceed with your plan. Hashem took MS, get out of here. I don't want to see your face. And Hashem took MS and he threw it to the earth. And then man was created. So it was the kasha. But Shalom was still there saying, Hashem, you can't. The answer is, once there's no MS, then Meshanin Mibnei Darkei Shalom. For peace, you can lie. You can lie for Shalom. So now Shalom was satisfied. So there was Chesed, there was Shalom, there was another meat I forgot. And Nemela Hashem was able to proceed and create the world. But MS, absolute MS cannot be sustained in this world. L'kach mitzanah midas MS in roi ha'olam hazeh el ha-Torah shi MS. Rak Avraham shi midas ha-chesed v'hu roi el ha'olam hazeh. Tafka. Avraham Avinu is the only one in his chus does this world exist. U'l'kach Avraham mitzanah midas hazeh s'roi li'yoyz dovek b'Torah. L'gamri. L'kach kim Avraham kol ha-Torah kula. That is why we only find by Avraham Avinu that he was mekayim kol ha-Torah kula. We don't find this by Yaakov. Yaakov, he had the Giranosha. He ate the Giranosha. He was the Giranosha. Now, Yaakov, he married two sisters. Okay, that's the classic example. He married two sisters. There are other things about Yaakov Avinu, the other things that he did not do. Okay, but only Avram, who is chesed, do we find that Avram Avinu is Mekayim, Kol Torah, Kulim Shedidna. And therefore, we now understand this pshat in the pasuk. Titein, the pasuk says, Titein emes liyakov, chesed leAvraham, asher nishpat lavoseinu mime kedem. So how does he learn pshat in the pasuk? Titein is in the future tense, right? It's in the future. Titein, you will give in the future. Emes, not now. Emes is not for now. But chesed liAvraham is now. I think that's how he's learning pshat in the pasuk. Titein is future. We're not yet ready for this. Yaakov Avinu, we're not yet ready for you. You have to take a back seat. What is practical today is chesed liAvraham. Everything today is chesed liAvraham. Asher nishpat lavosein mi mekedeke. That's another expression. What's the proof that this pshat, that the morale is right? Even though you don't hear this type of pshat, because we normally hear that Torah is emes. We very often like to say Avraham is chesed, Yitzchak is avoda, and Yaakov is emes. And what is emes? Torah. Yaakov, Torah is shaykh to Yaakov Avinu emes. In the Shemoyne Esrei, how we chosim the bracha? Baruch atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham, b'cho chosmin. What about Yaakov? What about Yitzchak? It's not practical. You cannot be choisim the bracha in a world that's not reality. The whole point of davening is this world, the Olam Ho'asiya. Elokei Avraham, there's Elokei Yitzchak, there's Elokei Yaakov. Tachlis. I need help, Hashem. How are you choisim the bracha? Baruch ato Hashem, Mogein Avraham. We go back to Avraham. Why? Because MS, absolute MS, Michal said, is not something that we can sustain in this world. In this practical world, it's chesed. And the Torah is Torah's chesed. And therefore, we always have to come and connect ourselves to Avraham Avinu when the day is over. Not Yitzchak and not Yaakov. Yitzchak and Yaakov, we take from them, but they don't carry the day. The one who carries the day is Avraham. Lost the Lavoi, maybe they'll carry the day, Yitzchak and Yaakov. But now the proof is Mogein Avraham. And that's how the morale goes. We have to finish up the morale.
What is he saying?
My Rebbe translated this phrase, Emes, Kosa Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Hashem's logo.
The choisam is logo. Very nice. I like that. Very nice. The logo. That's a good word for today's day and age. Did they have logos in ancient times? The degolim.
Yes.
Degel machane ruvein.
Sure.
Degel. They have logos, or do they have just colors?
No.
They have letters. They have pictures. It's not so simple. It's a big shiloh. They really had some. And some of the rishonim, they say, seems more. They said they had a flag. And they just had letters on the flag. They did not, they had oisios, spelling their name with a color. Color and letters. Sounds very boring, right? Very boring. Today you have to have, you know, shock and awe. You have to have light shows. If you don't have a light show, I mean, what kind of institute, organization, what kind of dinner is it if you don't have a light show? Okay, even by the Sima Shas, they had these lights flashing all over the place. What's life without having all smoke and mirrors and all these funny things today? Just to have letters, even the Aguda had a ship. You see the Aguda? The Aguda had there for 2 years since they started their campaign for the Siyam. They have a ship. You never saw the ship? The Daf, I'll call Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro, his drasha, when he initiated the Daf Yomi, he talked about Rabbi Akiva, I'll call Daf Vidaf. He was on a ship. The ship came apart. And he survived by holding on to a board, a daf. So in that theme, they created this beautiful logo of a ship.
So what else is there? Sinai had all the special effects.
Sinai had special effects. There was lightning, there was thunder, there was smoke. There was smoke. Very good, but were there mirrors? There was shofars, there was music, right? So you had the cholam special effects. The cholam roimes akolos. They can see, so there were special effects. Were there logos? Oh, Tmuncha Einchem Rayim Zulasi Kol. Ah, Kalman hit the nail on the head. There were no logos. There was no video presentation. How do you explain that? What? The Boyisham didn't know how to make a dinner. He didn't have a logo and a theme.
What?
Leviathan? All right, so that's a whole shaila if they actually had logos. You go to a shul and you have these beautiful stained glass windows and there are images of each shevet based on the psukim, Binyamin, Zeiv Yitrof, Chamor Gorem, Yisro Chamor Gorem. So these are modern day inventions. Did they have Ham Chazal? It's not clear. It seems... What? Yeah, but during the time of the Golem in the Midbar, when the Golem, when they traveled, they had flags. They had flags. Did they have images on the flag? You know, Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, he created a flag, proposed a flag for Medinas Yisrael. Talk about Zionism. Okay, that's an extreme thing. They're not going to write this in the book. Actually, they did write it in the book. They did write it in the art school book, to their credit. They did write it. He was very excited. He was a real Zionist. He actually made a flag.
What did it look like?
A flag. They write there what it looked like. He couldn't even have it. He made a flag and he proposed that this should be the flag for the Medina. He told the boys, "I'm too old. If I were you, I would get a gun and get on a boat or a plane, whatever, and go to areas to show them fight.
Why didn't he tell them to go?
And join the army. He did. He told them to go. He says, "I can't, I'm too old, I can't go, I'm too old." And he told, "If I was your age," he said, "I would go and fight. I would fight for Medinas Yisrael." Can you imagine such a thing? It's in the book, it's in the art school book, by the way. And this is not in a censored edition, it's in the book. Shlomo Feivel Mendelovich. A different era. And the Satmarov, they knew they were contemporaries. When he saw Shlomo Feivel Mendelovich, he gave him an earful. And Shlomo Feivel Mendelovich, after he just listened. He listened and listened. Then when it was all over, he said to his chaverim, "For every Maimah Chazal that the Satmarov said to me, I can answer him back with 10 more, 10, just the opposite. Pum Fakert." So he said, "I can give him 10 Maimah Chazal Fakert. So why don't I? I'm afraid of his temper." Okay, there was more than one opinion. There's more than one opinion in everything in life. Don't get carried away. What?
I still don't understand this passage. The element Yaakov has Laban, two most important
midos.
Midot concept. Asher nishbat alavotein mekedem. What is this?
I don't know.
What is this doing here?
I don't know.
Because there is emet and chesed, give whatever you promise lavotenu.
I don't know.
It's kind of.
It's very hard.
Something is missing.
I don't know. All right, let us finish up this the short two lines, and tomorrow I'll do the Yigilu Sarachim with you tomorrow. Then Mustachas Avram, Lekacha Yekolechad Hein Avraham Hein Yaakov Ruuim El Kol HaTorah Avram Mitzara Chesed VeHaTov Shabatorah VeYaakov Mitzara Emes Shabatorah. What about Yitzchak? Everyone on this page has said Yitzchak is here also. They've snuck him in. They've snuck in Yitzchak in some way. They were miraculous. We can't go over all the mafarshim again, but they snuck in Yitzchak. The only one that makes no apology and just says it the way it is the Maral. There's Avraham and there is Yaakov. Yitzchak, see you later. Not today. Today's not your day. Okay, interesting. Okay, everyone has their take. Okay, I really had all prepared. I have over here my machzer, and I really wanted to go over with you and show you some very fascinating stuff, how these psukim mikel kamoicha. In here are the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim and how it all plays out, and that we're going to have to leave for tomorrow. Take a very short break. We'll do Sefer Chasidim.